0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network for the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, we started this show over 2 years ago. We wanted it to be a fun getaway from the real world for an hour a week to talk Philly sports. And sometimes life just gets in the way, as it did this weekend for our good friend Danny Bevins, who had a very serious motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I was very sorry to see that news over the weekend, Bill. Apparently a nasty accident with various issues requiring a couple of surgeries. But I know you talked to Danny, or at least exchanged texts with him. So what is the latest and what's his prognosis?
Well, he does have to have a second surgery on his leg. It's kind of mangled up and got like 8 broken ribs. So he's in some heavy pain. Hopefully he's listening, and hopefully he is getting well soon, and we hope he's back on his feet soon. We enjoy having him with us.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, they had its NBA draft eve, and on the heels of an epic NBA finals and an amazing performance by LeBron James.
Yeah, terrific game 7 for sure. LeBron spectacular. The final 3 games all won by the Cavs. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I believe I predicted Cleveland would win the series in 6 or 7.
You and I both did, along with Barrett Brooks, and we were all trying to back out of it on the last show, but we hung in there, and somehow LeBron pulled it out for us. And
yeah.
But we'll get to that. All right, hey,
we sure will.
Let's let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles Tribute Question again tonight. We'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo of the Eagles' great running back, Wilbert Montgomery, that will be signed at Carl's Cards this Saturday. But, Chet, on top of that, if you're local or you can make it to the store, you will also get a free meet and greet with Wilbert, all part of winning this trivia question, a great prize by Carl tonight. And we'll be asking that question sometime around 7:25. So write this number down so you're ready at 7:25. Our Shop for Kisses phone line is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. So with that business taken care of, Tim, let's welcome back Falcons Media 76ers beat writer Tom Moore back to the Philly Press Box Radio. Tom, welcome. We know you are swamped today.
Busy, busy day. I'm going up to New York for the pre-draft availability, which is always, you know, so informative. We got Ben Simmons for the first time, and, you know, Jamal Murray, Chris Dunn, everybody. So it's just really helpful in terms of talking to guys and getting information and finding out who worked out for who and so on. But, yeah, it's winding down. I'm about 90% finished everything, so most of it's behind me, guys. Thanks.
All right, Tom. First, congratulations on being just the second member of the 5-timers club here on Philly Press Box Radio. You probably didn't know that, but, yeah, you and Mark Eckel. Sadly, that doesn't get you any kind of prize or anything. I just wanted to throw it out there, though.
Yeah, I know. On Saturday Night Live, they have, like, the 5-timers club, and they have the jackets and everything. And it's,
they do.
You know, Steve Martin,
but they also
Martin
have much...
Short, and Alec Baldwin and all that.
They have a much bigger budget than Philly Press Box Radio.
I understand, but that's 5 times. I did not even know that.
Yep. Anyway, lots of developments, as you said, on the Sixers front in recent days. The main topic, of course, is Thursday night's draft. And I guess we can say with 99.9% certainty now that the Sixers will be taking LSU's Ben Simmons with that top overall pick. So tell me, Tom, what Brett Brown's team is getting in this 6'10 point forward, the good and the red flags.
Yeah, the good is that he, you know, you watch him play, you know, at least generally when I watch him play, he just sort of has a little something, that's just a sort of a knack or a feel that, you know, most guys don't have, you know, just very versatile inside, outside. Can play a lot of different positions. The downside, I guess, would be not a great shooter on a team that is not a good shooting team to begin with. And, you know, critics say his team, LSU, went 19-14, didn't make the NCAA tournament after making it without him the year before. So kind of, and there's some questions maybe about, you know, if he kind of busted it the whole year, if he didn't kind of, you know, the end of the season maybe sort of was either getting tired of it or all the losing frustrated him or whatever. But honestly, I think given, you know, I like Brandon Ingram, but, you know, maybe in another year, like last year with Karl Anthony Towns, you know, I would say, you know, you probably have to take Towns. But this year, I think Simmons is the number one pick, you know, if not consensus, pretty close to it.
I know it's going to depend on what happens otherwise as far as maybe getting another guard or, you know, whether Saric comes over, but how will the Sixers likely use Ben Simmons?
I would assume he starts and potentially, I mean, he'll start obviously, but I would, you know, almost maybe a little bit like the Warriors used Draymond Green, you know, who really led the team in assists as a power forward. Now Green's a little better outside shooter than Simmons is, but both can really handle the ball and are versatile defensively. They can switch if, you know, they run a pick and roll and they're guarding the four and the point guard has it, he can switch and, you know, not be embarrassed against the point guard. I mean, you don't want him. I don't think you want him guarding a point guard. And I don't think you want him playing point guard, having the ball in his hands all the time at this level right away. I think that's too much. I think you need someone else to at least share if you know, be the primary ball handler. Just to help him in his transition from, you know, LSU to all the subtleties of the NBA.
Hey, Tom, I'm sure your phone's been blowing up all day with all these rumors. The Okafor rumors have been going on for weeks, and now Embiid's name has popped up today. Noel's name's popped up today. Is anybody safe, or is all that just, you know, out there for the rumors?
Yeah, Brian Colangelo, like Sam Hinkie, will consider everything, but I would be surprised if they traded Embiid just because I don't know, you know, a guy that hasn't played in 2.5 years, I can't imagine you're going to get much for him anyway. To me, I still think the most likely scenario, and I think there's probably about a 50-50 chance they make a move, it probably involves Okafor because I think teams like, you know, being an 18-point scorer as a rookie, and also the fact that he had 3 more years left on his rookie contract, so you have some salary control. Noel, while, you know, obviously a better defensive player, shot blocker, can become a restricted free agent in 2017, so he's going to probably want some money. So, I still think the most likely scenario could be involve the Celtics and the Sixers in that third pick because Danny Ainge supposedly is talking to somebody from the NBA today, supposedly, you know, wants a big guy and prefers a guy in the league already, doesn't think, you know, guys coming out this year, you know, thinks they're more projects and doesn't really want to wait. So would like somebody who, you know, who is already in the league, and the Sixers have two of them, you know, in Noel. And Okafor, he was interested in Noel a year ago, and he was interested in Okafor at the trade deadline in February. So, you know, I guess depending what he's looking for, I don't know what the package would or could include, I guess theoretically either one, and then if it's Noel, maybe you have to add something else. If it's Okafor, maybe you don't, or maybe you can get a little something else too. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move. I really think, and Brian Colangelo said earlier this week for the first time, he put a number on it that they'd really like to get a second top 8 pick. So, and he said there are, you know, 6 or 7 guys that he really likes. So to me, you know, that means there are guys he's targeting, and maybe like Jaylen Brown from California might be kind of the last guy he would like, and then he thinks there's a drop-off to that maybe second or third rung, depending how you look at things.
Well, you know, that's curious that you said that, or interesting that you said that, because I was thinking if you're going to trade Okafor, who was your number 3 pick, and he's, as you say, he's proven that he can score in the league, it almost seemed to me that you'd have to get equal or better, certainly, to do that. But I guess my other question is that 24 and 26 pick, you see that being packaged up along with a player?
Kind of anything's in play there. I could see them trying to combine the two to move up to maybe 15, 16. If there's somebody they target who's still there that they really like, I could see them trying to, you know, package a pick and a player, depending on circumstance, maybe to get a better player and a lesser pick, or a lesser player and a better pick, depending how it goes. I could see them, you know, taking 24 and then 26 trading for next year, or perhaps even taking a European kid who's going to play overseas for a year or two, because, you know, Brian Colangelo wants to balance the roster positionally, but he also wants to balance it age and experience-wise, and he really doesn't want five rookies added to the roster this year, which if you make three picks, and if they're fortunate enough that Sarge comes here and they're fortunate enough that he's healthy, that's five rookies, you know, at least on-court-wise, and that's a lot of people to incorporate in 1 year, and the Sixers have been doing that, churning it year after year. I think he'd rather, you know, whether it's as a free agent or sign, you know, a couple guys with maybe 4 or 5 years experience who are in their 20s, level, you know, have been around a little bit, have been through things, maybe, you know, better able to handle late-game situations, which, you know, the Sixers, you know, really, I mean, they struggled in a lot of areas, obviously going 10-72, but when the games were close, you know, they didn't have anybody they could really count on to make a shot or sometimes even get a shot off. So, you know, I could see a lot, just about anything you can imagine, you know, being in play there.
Hey, Tom, we got good news Tuesday on the Joel Embiid front, as we heard that the big guy who has missed his first two NBA seasons has now been cleared to scrimmage. What are you hearing about his readiness, his health, and his ability after all this time off?
Yeah, we get to see him a little bit, maybe once a week or so. We get to see part of his workout, which is usually more of a one-on-one or like with an assistant coach or a strength coach. And it's just been a progression in terms of how much more he's doing. Originally, when he was shooting, he wouldn't even land on that right foot. And then about a month ago, he started doing drills where he would jump with that foot and land on that foot with, you know, with his other leg up in the air to put some pressure on there. I don't mean that he was going full tilt, but just to start, you know, kind of building up in terms of, you know, pressure and pounding and those types of things. You know, he's been dunking for the last few weeks and, you know, just doing more. It sounded like yesterday when we were there that they were scrimmaging and apparently he was part of it. I don't know that it was 5-on-5, but, you know, so he's definitely, I think he's further along than he's been in, you know, either of his two previous seasons here. But, you know, it's still a long way to go to full 5-on-5 scrimmaging and playing 20 or 25 minutes a game or whatever his minute restriction will be as a rookie if they're fortunate enough to get him out on the court.
Hey, Tom, staying with the draft, do you feel like there's any possibility that they move this number one pick?
Yeah, I would say very unlikely. I mean, it would have to be an offer that just blows them away that they're convinced, you know, will make them that much better. You know, I think, and that's what Brian Colangelo said. And, you know, people this time of the year, that's the other thing, guys. I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff, but a lot of times people don't tell the truth. People try to mislead people. But you have to kind of listen to things with a grain of salt. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've read that this team's going to take this guy, and then when they get their chance, they take somebody else. So it's a lot of deception and misdirection and things like that. So, you know, it's not impossible, but I would say, you know, probably about a 2% chance they do something there. And as I said, it would have to be something spectacular.
Hey, Tom, a Turkish newspaper last week said it was 99% certain that Dario Saric would join the Sixers this season. But, you know, given the money situation for him, are you buying that?
Well, I think it comes down to the Sixers can pay, I think it's about $650,000 of the buyout that he's owed. So he and his dad have to work, an agent have to work out a buyout and where that money comes from, whether it comes from his future earnings with the Sixers or whatever. And then it comes down to, you know, does he's said he really wants to play in the NBA, but as you alluded to, Chet, yeah, he's locked into a rookie contract if he comes over this year, and it's, you know, paying him about $2 million a year over the next 4 years it averages out. If he stays one more year, He's a restricted free agent. He can negotiate a deal. Mrodic from Mirotic, excuse me, from the Bulls did the same thing a few years ago. But he was picked later. He was going to make, I think it was about $6 million over 4 years, and then he came here and he signed a three-year, $18 million deal. So he can make a lot more money if that's what it comes down to. You don't know with these things. My whole take on this is believe it when it's official, because there's been so much information. There were rumblings last year that he could come over here, but there really wasn't a buyout. It would have been way too expensive to do it. You know, now I think he would like to come over, all things being equal, but I think he has to take into account, you know, money and, you know, future earnings and what it may cost, or how to work out this buyout with his Turkish team, Anadolu Efes, EFES, in Istanbul.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tom, we know you're short on time, but we didn't want you to get away without talking about the NBA Finals and get your take on that. And
sure.
The LeBron James act was something special.
Yeah, he was spectacular. I was really, you know, glad for him. I mean, I know Draymond Green didn't play Game 5, but if you think after four games, the team with the best record in NBA regular season record in NBA history has a 3-1 lead, and you have to beat them three times, including twice on their home court. I mean, you can't imagine, you know, the odds of that happening would be so minute. And they did it Game 5 with him, you know, with him out, and then Game 6. And I think it's really cool that, you know, LeBron's biggest play in the whole series, you know, was hustling back to block that Iguodala layup. You know, the turning point, and probably as big a play, or maybe even a bigger play than that huge three that Kyrie Irving hit in the last minute. But, you know, I was glad for him because, you know, he's been criticized a lot, and it's easy to criticize guys like that and find things to point out. But to go, you know, to a team that had the worst record in the NBA and in 2 years, you know, the first year take them to the finals and the second year win it, you know, with, you know, Kevin Love is not a great player. I think people found that out. Kyrie Irving is pretty darn good, but that was not a great team in my eyes. And, you know, he did it in all facets. I mean, he led that series. He led every major statistical category. He led in scoring. He led in rebounding. He led in assists. He led in steals, and he led in block shots. Like that's.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So that performance and the comeback from 3-1, including two games on the road against the best team in NBA history record-wise, what does this do for LeBron's legacy? Does this, first of all, make him, again, the best player in the league?
Well, I mean, you certainly have to say the best playoff player in the league. You know, I always thought Peyton Manning was an incredible regular season quarterback, but I just never thought, maybe because teams prepared so well, he wasn't quite as effective in the playoffs. And Steph Curry, let's face it, you know, did not have a great playoff. Did not have great finals and really was up and down in the conference finals. I mean, LeBron clearly outplayed him. It really wasn't close.
Yep.
So certainly playoffs, no question. On the other hand, you know, Curry, with what he did and with the team and his three-point shooting and everything like that, he was – you know, certainly deserved to be the regular season MVP, but I think there's some justice for LeBron, and I'm glad to see it, and I think he fully deserves it.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, you mentioned all those stats and everything, and the block shot. To me, the block shot was just absolutely off the charts. But the effort, the end-to-end effort to make that play, not superstars don't do that. You know, I mean, it was just a ridiculous play.
Yeah, that was a total blue collar, not giving up on a play. He was 30 feet behind Iguodala, and he caught up to him and pinned that ball off the backboard. It was, you know, it was like one of those sort of you just gasp because you can't believe. And then you see the replay and you realize it was even better, you know, than you first thought. And your first thought it was incredible. So yeah, that's what I admire about him. You know, too, and the emotion, you know, when they won, he just was overwhelmed at the accomplishment and doing it in his hometown. He grew up a half an hour away in Akron. So, you know, I thought that was really special and really cool to see.
Hey, Tom, one question before we let you go. If all goes well, Simmons is the real deal, Embiid stays healthy, Saric does come over, the Sixers somehow get a guard who can score. I know I'm dreaming. Could this Sixers team actually make the playoffs next spring?
I don't think so, Chet. I think that's a bit much. Because you're going to have a lot of new parts and a lot of relatively young guys. I mean, unless they went out and got real established veterans, you know, that have, and the guys I'm talking about getting aren't necessarily established. Like Evan Fournier is a restricted free agent shooting guard from Orlando, who's very athletic, 6'6" wing, can play both positions. So guys like that who are going to help and grow with the program. But, I mean, I kind of always point to, as tremendous as Kevin Durant is, he was drafted by the Supersonics, and he played the last year of the Supersonics before they became the Thunder. His rookie year, they won 19 games. And, you know, I just think it's a bit much. I think if they could get into the, like, upper 20s even, let's say, and start building a group with an act of pieces to next year when you could have two more lottery picks next year, maybe even three, depending how things go. You know, I think that would be a big step in the right direction.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Tom, we know you are swamped, and we certainly appreciate you joining us on a night like this with all the rumors circulating. I'm sure you got plenty less to do tonight, so we're going to let you go, but certainly thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. Anytime, and thanks for having me on 5 times.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks, sure. Tom. Stay busy.
No problem there.
All right. Hey, Chet. We ran out of time with Tom on this, but you know there was a trade in the NBA today where the Bulls have traded Derrick Rose to the Knicks. And
yeah, I saw that.
Supposedly the Knicks are going to get Robin Lopez, Jerian Grant, and Jose Calderon. And then there's some other players in the mix and a draft pick. So Derrick Rose to the Knicks. That'll be an interesting marriage up there. The Knicks stink.
Yeah, it will. I don't know how much he has left after all the injuries. I mean, if he can stay healthy, of course, he can contribute. But the Knicks have to take gambles, I guess, so this is one on their part. There was some talk a few weeks ago the Sixers might actually make a run at Derrick Rose. I didn't want to see that. I'm glad it didn't happen. But, hey, you just never know. Yeah. Hey, before we go any further, since we were talking about the Sixers all that time, I got to do one thing right here, okay, Bill? I know it's a corny song, but I just love hearing it every once in a while, especially on draft night. So
you know, the Sixers haven't given us much to cheer about over the last few years. So, I guess here we are in June. It's probably as good a time to listen to that song as any.
Yes, indeed. It gets me in the spirit. I'll tell you, this is an exciting week for Philly sports, especially with the Sixers, you know, with NBA draft coming up and all the trade rumors, Joel Embiid apparently getting healthier. This is a big week for the franchise, so I'm hoping that it turns out. I tried to spin a little optimism there, but Tom wasn't buying it. He says no playoffs next year, no matter what.
No, I think it's just too many games, you know. I mean, if everybody was healthy and, you know, I think what we're going to find in the next 48 hours, 24 to 48 hours, we're going to see a whole different team. We all pretty much agree that everybody's not going to be there. They're not going to have 6 big men come Friday, I would think. Somebody got to go.
Absolutely.
So,
it'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun to watch. It will be fun to watch. And the deal in them, the 24, 26, you know, if they can work something out and move some 2 players and get back up into the in the top 8 for a second pick, that would really make things exciting.
Yes, it would. If they could do that and get a Chris Dunn or Jamal Murray or Buddy Hield even, you know, that would make it a pretty exciting team to watch.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, hey, it's trivia time, my friend, and let's get our phone numbers out so people are on this because this is a great prize, as we said. So let's get the phone number out, 929-477-2855. And as mentioned, Carl Henderson at Carl's Cards has really put something special together in my mind. It'll be a signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles great running back Wilbert Montgomery. He will be at Carl's Cards this Saturday. So if you're from out of town, you'll win through the mail. But if you're a local person and you can get the Carl's Cards, you can get the picture signed in person, and you will get a meet and greet with Wilbert, all included, to the first person that can correctly answer this trivia question. And, Chet, it is about the NBA and the 76ers while we're talking Sixers tonight, okay?
Sounds
here we
good.
Go. Listen close. In the 2015 NBA draft, the 76ers had 6 picks, 1 first-rounder, Jahlil Okafor, and 5 second-round picks. Of the 5 second-rounders, only 1 played in an NBA game, actually 51 games in 2015 for any team, because some of those guys were traded. So can
yep.
you name him? All right, here we go. In 2015 NBA draft, the 76ers had 6 picks, 1 first-rounder, Jahlil Okafor, and 5 second-round picks. Of the 5 second-rounders, only 1 played in an NBA game, actually 51 games in 2015 for any team. Can you name him? All right, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer in the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Chad, as the listeners are getting ready to answer the trivia question, trying to figure out that answer, let's talk some Phillies. You know, they teased us with some good play early on, but they have absolutely crashed. And we were just talking wild card, it seemed, just a few weeks ago or a month ago, and now we have a team that's got the third worst record in the National League. What in the world happened?
Well, here's how bad the turnaround's been, first of all. It was just over a month ago. They were 24-17. They've gone 6-24 since then. That is dreadful. They just finished up a horrible 0-6 homestand, which was their worst in, I think, 52 years, mainly because they couldn't score. Then Tuesday night, they opened a series against another bad team, the Twins, out in Minnesota. And finally, they showed some signs of life offensively, belting 4 homers, scoring 10 runs, except they gave up 14. So that's 8 straight losses now. The pitching's taking just a horrible turn for the worse. Aaron Nola's been rocked 3 straight starts. They're making lots of errors and mental mistakes defensively. And it could be my imagination, but I think Pete McCannon's hair is suddenly getting grayer and thinner.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you ready to pull the plug? I mean, there are fans that are screaming they need to make an impact move, regardless of what it is, whether it be players going to the minors, players getting released, coaches getting fired. Are you ready to jump on that, or are you thinking that we're about where we thought we were being, we just got teased into thinking we were better?
Yeah, the latter. I'm not ready to pull the plug and make any drastic moves. I mean, let Ryan Howard finish out the season, as we talked on our previous show. I'm not ready to call up the Nick Williams and the Andrew Knapp and Alfaro, all these guys just yet, because I don't think they're ready, and that's Pete McCannon's concern as well. You don't want to bring them up and let them get, you know, taken advantage of in the major leagues. Let them continue to develop at AA and AAA until they're really, really ready. We expected these growing pains. As we discussed previously and even last night when we talked, they certainly weren't as good as when they were 24-17. They weren't really that good, and they're not as bad as they've been over this dreadful 8 games over the past week. They're somewhere in between. I think they are going to be right around where we predicted at the beginning of the year, you know, 70 to 72 wins. If they do a little better, that'd be great. But I don't think they're going to, like, suddenly, you know, not win another game or go, you know, 2-25 every month the rest of the way. So let's just sit back, take it easy, take it all in, and hopefully see some improvement over the next couple of weeks. I mean, they're never going to be a great hitting team, but they can do better fundamentally. I mean, they've been really sloppy last night. We've seen just some horrible play. Freddie Galvis last night, old Dubel, I think, didn't go all out on that one with the bases loaded, hit the center field. So, you know, it's all about effort and focus, and then I think things will get a little bit better.
I'm going to disagree with you on one thing, because I'm going to take a flip-flop position here. And we've talked about Ryan Howard, you know, every week almost. They cannot keep him. They cannot keep him. He was 0 for 5 again last night. He's hit 140 with an on-base percentage of 198, Chet. 198.
Yeah, that's not good. That is not good.
No. I mean, we've said this, you know, I'm a fan, but it just, they can't do it. He's only got 24 hits on the season, and 10 of them are home runs. He just, I mean, you'd be better probably to put Darren Ruff back out there as a backup to Tommy Joseph and let them guys do something together. I don't know, but you can't keep running Ryan out there. It's just, it's bad for the team. It's bad for Ryan. It's bad for everything.
Yeah, I mean, let me just comes clean here. I would not be upset if they did pull the plug on Ryan Howard, because I think we've seen enough to know that it's not going to turn around for him again. So, I mean, if they want to release him or work something out, that would be fine. But if not, you don't have a whole lot of other options. You mentioned Darren Ruff. He got his chance in the big league, could never really hit. He's tearing it up again down at AAA. He's been, you know, hitting really well the last 3 weeks since he's been down there. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just a guy who can do it in the minor leagues, but not beyond. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think they need to go right back up the middle, too. And you know, whether they have to be patient a little bit longer, but Galvis at 211, Hernandez at 248. You know, Galvis never has hit. He had his best year last year. Hernandez has been brutal in the field and making mental mistakes along with his physical mistakes. You're not going to win with those guys. And you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that some of that is rubbing off on Mikel Franco, and it's not Franco. Maybe it's the attitude of what's going on. Mikel Franco is not getting the job done either.
Well, that's the guy I wanted to bring up. What the heck is going on with him and going wrong? Is it going to be another Dom Brown where he just turns out to be a bust? He had so much potential. He looks like he's got all the talent, but I don't know. Sometimes he just doesn't look focused. Sometimes he doesn't look like he's trying to make any corrections in his swing or whatever. So, boy, I hope he gets his head screwed on right, because I think he's got the talent, but there's just something missing with him right now.
Well, the thing I see with him is I think every time he comes to the plate, he's trying to hit the ball into the next county. You know, he just overswings. He just tries to mash every single pitch. And it's like he wants to pull everything, and he wants to hit it as hard as he can instead of waiting, getting a good pitch to hit. There's nothing wrong with a line drive to the opposite field for a hit or in the gap. There's, you know, that's when hitting is good. He hit that ball last night that got out of the park in about 3 seconds, you know, that he jumped on. But generally, I think he's just trying too hard to hit the ball too hard and hit home runs. And that ends up, now you're back below 240 yourself.
Yeah, and I hope he can turn it around, because, as I said, I think he's got the talent, and he's, you know, considered to be one of their cornerstones for the next 10 years, so let's hope that it turns out. Now, Aaron Nola is another concern. He certainly has the skills. He looked fine at the beginning of the year when a lot of the guys did, when they were 24-17, but now three straight starts like this, he's been hit very hard. He was the beneficiary or the non-beneficiary of some bad fielding, of course, too. I'm just hoping that it doesn't get in his head and where he's going to, you know, worry now every time he goes out there that things aren't going to go well for himself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, somebody's going to have to make this all-star team. And, you know, I guess the one guy that hasn't pitched in forever, it seems, because they haven't had any opportunities for him. But I'm thinking Genmar Gomez, with his 19 saves, he just hasn't had any save ops. I think he might have to be your representative, Chet.
Yeah, it would have to be him or Herrera. I guess Herrera's still hitting around 300. But yeah, neither is a lock for certain, but it's got to be one of those two guys. And speaking of guys who we haven't seen much, and when we have, it hasn't gone well, how about that Hector Neris, who looked like a world beater for the first month of the season, and now he can't get the ball over the plate. What's going on with him as the eighth inning setup guy?
Yeah, he lost it. He lost it, and he struggled to get it back. And, you know, it's baseball's a funny game. It's a funny game, and when things don't go well, it's the mental part of the game is crazy.
Yeah. So for the near term, let's just hope that they can start playing a little better as far as the fundamentals, because they've been really sloppy over the last 10 days or so. I want to see that turn around. The hitting will come eventually. It's never going to come in bunches for this team, other than last night when they lost anyway. You know, if they can get back to a 70-75 win season, I think we would take that in this stage of the development. I'll stick with my thought previously that better days are ahead. They have a lot of talent in the minors. The Reading Phillies, as we talked, are, I think, the best team in baseball as far as record. So there is hope down on the farm. It's just going to take a little while.
You bet. Well, hey, Chet, we're giving away this Wilbur Montgomery meet and greet. So we're going to read this question again. I'm even going to throw a hint out there. So if anybody's out there paying attention and thinks they might know this, you got to get it right, because I'm going to give you everything but his name. Okay?
Wake up, people.
In the 2015 NBA draft, the 76ers had six picks. One first-round, Jahlil Okafor, and five second-round. Second-rounders, only one played in an NBA game, actually 51 games in 2015 for any team. Can you name him? Chet, he played for the Sixers.
There's your big hint.
He played for the Sixers. I can't do anything more for you except give you his name. So do a little research. It'll take you about 1 second to come up with that answer, I hope, if you're at all a fan. So,
yeah. And what's that phone number again, Bill?
That phone number is 929-477-2855. All right. Hey, Chet, since we talked last a couple weeks ago, since we were off last week, Fletcher Cox is in the fold long-term with a massive contract, and Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson have basically brought back all the veterans, tune of about $280 million of guaranteed money, double of anyone else in the league, good or bad.
Well, if it had to come out of my bank account, it would be pretty much a disaster. But since it's not my money, I'm not overly concerned about that. We just have to hope that the majority of the deals prove to be worth it. I know one thing. I've never seen Fletcher Cox smile as much as I have in the past week. You know, of course, I would have a tough time wiping a smile off my face if someone guaranteed me $63 million too. So, you know, is it money well spent? You never know. It's a gamble in the NFL, but I think they had to do it in a lot of these cases. You had to overpay in some cases, especially for Fletcher Cox, apparently. You probably have a little bit too much money budgeted on three quarterbacks, two of whom, you know, aren't going to be playing most of the time. So you got to do what you got to do, and let's see if Howie is back in the genius fold again, because so far everybody's thinking that his off-season moves have been very, very good. So we'll see what happens when it ends up on the field.
Yeah, and you know, to me, the Fletcher Cox thing is kind of interesting. I mean, we know he's a really good player, but the guys – The insiders that we've had on this show, you know, Ray Dittinger and Kevin Riley and those guys, you know, Barrett Brooks said Fletcher Cox can't be blocked by one guy. So, I mean, I get it from that standpoint, but man, oh man, they're paying him money like nobody else, and he better be as good as advertised.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ray. We're going to have Ray on with us next month, right before training camp opens. So I'm curious to, you know, get Ray's take on all of these moves, on the Fletcher Cox deal, on what he's looking for from the team in preseason. Because, you know, last year we kind of got fooled by some of the preseason results. The offense looked so great. And then when the regular season started, things didn't go quite as we had envisioned. So I want to see where Ray is at with all of the moves and what he's expecting for this Eagles team this year.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you look at everything that's happened so far in this offseason, you know, I guess the new staff likes the receiving core that they have for the most part. They've added some speed, or at least have some guys coming to camp with some speed to stretch the field out a little bit. And the running back situation, you know, is going to be kind of a wait and see how that turns out. But they've done pretty well, I think, trying to maintain or strengthen just about every position on this team other than those two.
Oh, yeah, they've certainly made the effort. We're hearing some good things about Wendell Smallwood, the running back that they drafted. I'm curious to see, you know, if Kenyon Barner can play or not. He certainly showed some flashes in the preseason games and even a couple of times in the regular season games that he got in. I want to see if he's got anything to offer, or maybe because he was an Oregon guy, he won't get that opportunity. I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of things to watch. I know we can't make any real judgments from the preseason, but I just want to see, you know, what some of these guys have as far as ability, at least.
Yep. Going to be fun. Going to be fun. Hey, I wanted to catch you before we move on to the next topic. I wanted to ask you, did you happen to see the back cover of the Daily News today?
I did not.
It had, well, there's Ben Simmons, and there's Mickey, and there's Ghost, and who was the fourth one? Basically talking about, Carson Wentz, and basically
okay.
Talking about the new beginning, all the new youngsters that are on board here, and, you know, high hopes for the future.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I heard some people talking about that, and you could throw guys like, you know, Ivan Provorov in there for the Flyers. There is hope with a lot of these young guys now coming into the fold, as you said. I think it's a very interesting time for Philly sports, and right now we're still kind of in the depths, but a lot of these teams are just kind of, you know, turning the page and restarting things. They had, you know, the first or second overall pick in, I guess, three cases this offseason. I think it's going to be fun to watch to see what happens over the next 2 years. And I think by, you know, 2019 or 2020, all four of these teams could be very good if things work out the way that we see that they might with the young guys that you mentioned. So it's going to be fun to watch over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yes, it is. And you know, the other thing that's interesting, and our buddy Carl Anderson and I had this conversation just the other day about you know, the patience, and, you know, we've been very patient with the Sixers and their plan, and to the point that many people like the plan. Some of those same people are ready to jump overboard on the Phillies because, you know, they haven't played well in the last month. So it's interesting, depending on who you are, which franchise you are, what the expectations are. Of course, that's expected when you know, you bring these guys into your living room 162 times a summer, a year. You know, you expect them to win. You want them to win. They're part of your everyday activities.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, it's funny you mentioned what the Sixers did. Even now, with Ben Simmons apparently coming to the Sixers, Joel Embiid already there, they both on Twitter used the hashtag #TrustTheProcess. Which, you know, is a reference to the Sam Hinkie process. So it's kind of weird that they're using that trust the process thing, which was tied to a guy who's no longer with the organization. I wonder how the Sixers feel about that.
Well, you know, I was going to ask Tom that. Again, ran out of time. It was one of my notes that I had is, you know, if this works out, is this the Hinkie process that gets the credit for it? I mean, anybody could pick Ben Simmons in today's draft or tomorrow's draft, but, you know, weaseling around to make a couple other moves to move up or whatever, that's going to be tricky and take some real talent. But the fact that Hinkie has put all these pieces in place to be moved and to negotiate with, you know, he probably deserves a lot of credit.
Oh, absolutely. Whether you like the guy, whether you like the whole plan or not, this is the way it was supposed to work out, where you were going to get very bad, get one of the two or three worst records in the league for a couple of years in a row, or three in this case, and, you know, at least one of those years get the number one overall pick. That's what they got this year. Now, maybe it would have been better if it was last year and they could get, like, a Carl Anthony Towns or whatever, but it didn't happen last year. Now you got to hope Ben Simmons is the real deal at number one. But, yeah, this was his plan, to get real bad, get some very high draft picks, get a lot of assets, as he would call them, and, you know, then start adding and getting these guys in the fold and getting some other guys around them. And I think he was thinking, you know, 3 to 5 years, ideally, and it's been 3 years. So, yeah, if they suddenly start winning and make the playoffs, not this coming year, but the following season, there's going to be a lot of people who say, Sam, thank you. You know, you did it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, Chet, we have to talk about the Dick Vermeil Invitational Golf Outing supporting the Chester County Boy Scouts of America that you and I were able to attend yesterday, last night, as guests of our friend Kevin Riley. What a great event.
Yeah, I posted about it on Facebook today, took a lot of pictures. You know, I'm a picture guy. And as I said on there, as a longtime Eagles fan, it was pretty darn awesome, almost like a dream night. Because you're talking about hanging out and talking with guys that you watched play every Sunday for several years. You're talking about Ron Jaworski, Wilbert Montgomery, Mike Quick, Harold Carmichael, Jerry Sizemore, all there. And we got to talk to Dick Vermeil, who I had never met before. And, boy, what a treat that was. A guy who, a Super Bowl-winning coach, and he's an institution in Philadelphia. And you know what was great? Every one of those guys we talked to, and Bill Bradley, who was just terrific, every one of those guys that we talked to couldn't have been nicer. They all took the time to talk to you. It wasn't like, you know, they're a big-time former NFL star. They were just like a guy who liked playing and talking about football, and that was really refreshing.
It really was. And you, as you said, you couldn't ask for a nicer bunch of guys all the way across the board, They didn't know us from anybody. And just to let everybody know, I don't know the total number, but as you and I rode the course, I mean, there was at least 18 groups. There were six people to a group. So everybody had a celebrity in their group. It was a sold-out event that came with a, you know, a cocktail hour and refreshments on the course and food and then of course the dinner afterwards and the auctions and all that. I mean, a great event if listeners would, you know, had the resources to make it a work event, a company event, or something like that. Supported a great program with the Boy Scouts and have just an absolute fantastic fun night with the old Eagles.
Yeah, we had a blast, and again, as you said, thanks to Kevin Riley. I sent him a nice message today to thank him. Kevin did invite us, and Dick Vermeil told me Kevin is the guy who like runs the whole thing, and boy, what a job he did. And he's a good auctioneer too, man. They had an auction where you know, you could bid on things, and he was one of those fast talking auctioneers, and he did a great job. So that was fun to watch, and boy, what a great night.
And for people that had a lot more money than Philly Press Box Radio, there were some great things given away, like or auctioned off, like Super Bowl tickets, African safari trips, Ireland trips. I mean, some big items that, of course, they brought a pretty good chunk of money and all for a good cause.
Yeah, I think the pair of Super Bowl tickets went for $6,700, which, you know, if I had the money, I would definitely love to go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Well, hey, like I say, if any of the listeners had an opportunity that are out there in the Chester County area, it was at Downeytown Country Club, which Ron Jaworski now owns. It was a fantastic course. Great way to entertain some business people, that's for sure. And you can get a few autographs here and there. It wasn't crazy autograph session, but anybody that asked for something signed certainly got it signed, and it was really, really a lot of fun.
And I just want to mention two of the guys. We talked to Bill Bradley at length. He had some great stories about playing for Dick Vermeil in the 70s and for Eddie Kayat. and then going on to Minnesota. But what a fun guy he was. I really love talking to Bill Bradley. I told him he was one of my favorite players from the 70s. He's also still one of the co-leaders in interceptions on the Eagles with 34, still after all these years. And then I also talked with Harold Carmichael, and I told him that he was my absolute favorite player in the 70s. He said, I bet you say that to all the guys here. I said, no. I said, really, I just loved watching you every week. And he was just great. So it was finally great to finally meet Harold Carmichael.
Yeah, and I would say the same about Jerry Sizemore, somebody that I had never met before and always thought was a fantastic player. And Jed, I didn't realize it until I saw the picture. His hand over my shoulder is as big as my head. He is a huge human being to begin with, but his hands were just gigantic. And what a great guy.
Yeah, everybody we talked to was just super nice. I was terrific.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, we're going to be back at it next weekend or next Wednesday night. And who we got for our guest next week?
Well, back for a second time with us and with, I'm sure, more great stories about 1980s Major League Baseball and his time with the Phillies, Glenn Bowe, a.k.a. Glenn Wilson. We had him on last summer, and he's agreed to come back on again this summer.
Fantastic. Hopefully the Phillies are playing a little better, but I'll bet you Glenn will have some real opinions about how this all went down, and because, as he mentioned to us last year, he follows it close.
Yeah. Hey, let's put out one last call for the trivia question. We would like to give this prize away, man. It's a great prize. You get to meet Wilbert Montgomery. You just have to tell us which of the Sixers' 5 second-round picks last year, 2015, played in the season with the Sixers. 1 out of 5. Who was it?
Chet, I'm going to give him one more chance. Okay? We already said he played for the Sixers. I'm going to give you all the 5 names. So pick one. Pick one and call in.
Oh, man.
Willie Hernan Gomez. Artarius Rashawn Holmes. J.P. Tokoto. And Luka Mitrovic. It's one of those 5. Pick one. You've got a 1 in 5 chance to call it in with the right answer. I can't do any more than that yet.
No.
All right. Hey, let's get to the signing update of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. It's going to be a very busy end of June and July, starting this Saturday, as we said, June 19th, former Eagles Pro Bowl running back Wilbert Montgomery. And then followed up on, that's not June 19th. Jet, that would be June 25th. June 19th already passed.
Yes, June 25th.
June 25th, Wilbert Montgomery. June 30th, Carl's Cards will be hosting another night at the Reading Phillies game. Jet, you will be at that game.
I will be there. You picked up the tickets for me, courtesy Carl and Lauren at Carl's Cards. Thank you very much.
All right. New addition to the guest list, Reading's Fightin's up-and-coming star Dylan Cousins will be in the store on July 5th. The kid can hit bombs. He's going to be a future star. Also, current Phillies infielder Andres Blanco will be in the store July 16th. Former Flyers captain Dave Poulin, July 16th also. And former Flyers Sean Podine on July 23rd. And Chet, a new addition, Phillies 2008 World Champion manager Charlie Manuel will be in the store on July the 30th. Stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also visit the website, carlscards.com, or contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. Jeff, did anybody call in to answer this question?
Nope, shame on them.
Shame on them. Okay. Well, Mr. Chesko, we are a couple minutes ahead of schedule because I don't have a parting shot tonight, but you do, so have at it.
And mine's a little longer than usual, so it's okay that we're ahead of schedule, so here we go. I've been reading sports columns in the Inquirer by Bill Lyon for as long as I can remember. The Internet tells me he joined the Inky back in 1972. He retired in 2005, but as he put it, he flunked retirement and continued to write occasional columns for The Inquirer and more recently the website Philadelphia Sports Daily. He's covered at least 24 Super Bowls, 24 Masters, the same number of Final Fours, lots of very good Philly sports seasons, and many more bad ones. And he's won a slew of awards for his work. He's also a six-time Pulitzer Prize nominee. But as much as I've enjoyed his sports writing over the years, it's the columns he's written for The Inquirer the last three Sundays that really moved me. Bill, now 78, is 3 weeks into his five-part series about his battle with a not-so-good guy that entered his life in 2013. Bill calls that guy by the nickname Al, which is short for Alzheimer's disease. I'm guessing everyone over age 50 knows someone who has or had Alzheimer's. In part one of the series, Bill called Al an insidious and relentless little bastard, a gutless coward who lies in ambush in my brain, a sneaky thief who comes in the night and steals away with something precious, the links to your past. Well, Bill's been fighting Al just the way you'd expect him to, with meds, yes, but also with physical exercise and with mental exercise. If his writing 3 1/4 years into this battle is any indication, Bill Lyon is giving Al a hell of a fight. He finished off his most recent column by saying, "I awaken each morning, thank you for that, and gingerly swing my legs over the side and down to the floor. It sounds like the gunfight at the OK Corral. Slowly I stand upright, and this sound is like milk being poured over cereal, snap, crackle, pop. And so another day is launched, and it sure does beat the alternative." Classic Bill Lyon. Bill says it's his intent to ride until, well, until he can't do it anymore. Let's hope that day is still a long, long way off.
Great job. Great job. Yeah, fantastic. Bill is fantastic. And like you, we've been reading him for a long time, and he is memorable, memorable articles that he's written over the years.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen these latest articles, the series about his battle with Alzheimer's, go to philly.com and just, you know, do a search on Bill Lyon, and you'll see it. It's fascinating stuff. He's great.
Fantastic. All right, Chet, we are right about on schedule. You have anything else you want to bring up? We didn't give away this prize. I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, a couple of things we didn't get to either with Tom Moore. I wanted to see what his opinion was on Ryan Arcidiacono, if he's going to get drafted or not. I don't think he will, but he's, you know, certainly getting a long look from a lot of different teams. He'll get a shot in the summer league, so you never know. I wanted to see what his thoughts were about DeAndre Bembry of St. Joe's. And Tom is a Syracuse guy. I wanted to see what he thought about the kid from Syracuse, Malachi Richardson, who's also from Trenton. Wanted to see if he thought he might be a first-round pick. There was talk that he will go mid to late first round. So who knows?
Yeah, you know, I read an article today that showed Bembry and Richardson both going in the first round somewhere. I think Bembry was somewhere. As a matter of fact, he was shown as being a Sixers pick in one of the mock drafts.
Yeah.
I saw. And
I saw somebody do a mock draft where they had this. Yeah, somebody saw had the Sixers taking both of those guys, Richardson and Bembry, at 24 and 26. I don't think that would happen, but, you know, it would be nice if they were to get one of those guys, at least a local guy.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, Chet, we are at the top of the hour, so let's go ahead and thank our special guest, Calkins Media's Tom Moore, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, for their continuing support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you will join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, June the 29th at 7 p.m. with our special guest, Glenn Wilson, joining us. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio and on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.